just the songs that we have had. My heart has been blessed with the words of these songs that we've looked at. Some of these songwriters, back in the, the one was Isaac Watts, wrote the words. He lived in the late 1600s and early 1700s. This one was Charles Wesley in the 1700s. How those words and melodies continue to bless our hearts. That was good stuff when they put the words and music together. It's no wonder that those still are with us. They're still with us. Our scripture reading today is in Genesis chapter 45. Genesis chapter 45, and we're going to look at the first 8 verses. Genesis 45. You might think, my word, Pastor, you're just all over. You're just preaching all over the Bible, rather than in one spot all the time. You're right. I am still seeking the Lord's direction where the next series He wants me to preach. And He has not yet shown me where I want you to preach on this topic, this subject, this book. So guess what? We're going to hop skipping around here for a while. Until He does, I keep praying, and I invite you to keep praying. Lord, guide Pastor, help him to know what his heart needs and what our hearts need. Because that's how I view the preaching. I don't do this just to get something for you. I'll be honest. I want something myself. I want to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord myself. So, that's why we're in Genesis today. We hopped around to a different spot. Genesis 45, 1 through 8. Then Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him, and he cried, "Cause every man to go out from me." And there stood no man with him, while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. And he wept aloud. Beloved, this is holy ground here as we think about this. I, over the years, have wept myself as I have been reading through this, trying to imagine that moment with those brothers. It's no wonder there was weeping. And the Egyptians in the house of Pharaoh heard that Joseph said unto his brethren, "I am Joseph. Doth my father yet live?" And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. And Joseph said unto his brethren, "Come near to me, I pray you." They came near, and he said, "I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. Now therefore, be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that you sold me hither. For God did send me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, And yet there are 5 years in which there shall neither be earing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God. He hath made me a father to Pharaoh, and lord of all his house, and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Listen to the Lord in prayer, shall we? Heavenly Father, we are thankful for your word. We're thankful for the privilege we have of looking at this family record of Joseph and his brothers. And I pray today you would speak to us that which would help us in our own lives as we visit a very familiar story. I pray that we might go away from here knowing that you have given us what we need, and that we might say it was good to be in the house of the Lord today. We pray that you would guide our thoughts, help us to keep our thoughts on you. Help us to put away those things that would distract us, would mislead us, and cause us to miss what you have brought us here for today. Father, again, we come before you with thankfulness for the events which occurred in our country a couple of days ago, that the Supreme Court finally took up the topic after nearly 50 years, and millions of innocent lives lost, and they made it, and they took a vote. That tragic decision that was handed down in 1973 was overturned. Oh Lord, we don't know if our country will ever be the same again. We don't know how you can bless us, but we ask you to be merciful to us. We don't deserve your goodness. We deserve your wrath. We praise you for the decision that was made. We ask that you would work in the lives of those across the land in various states, even those working with the president and the Congress that are talking about trying to do things to circumvent and bypass the decision the Supreme Court made. Oh Lord, stop it from happening. Even in one state, we pray that a state like ours that has a law on the books, has the early 1930s, change the hearts of those legislators and our governor in Lansing, that there would be those who would stand up and speak for what is right and truth. And we pray that there would be the upholding of the law that is on the books in our state. And once again, it might be illegal for an abortion in the state of Michigan. That's what the lawmakers intended back in the 30s. We pray, Father, for those who are sick, those who are struggling with health issues. We pray that you would restore them according to your will, even enable some that we have not seen here in months to be able to start coming back to church once again. Lead us now. Direct us. Speak to us through your word. We thank you in your name I pray. And you may be seated. It was not a pleasant road that Joseph traveled to become one of the heroes of the faith. Humanly speaking, no one would have blamed Joseph if he would have responded bitterly toward his family, especially his brothers. But have you ever wondered what kind of a guy was he to treat his brothers the way he did there in Egypt after all they had done to him when he was a young man? How did he do that? Well, we should be thankful that the trail he traveled is marked with some clues to show us what his secret was. Let's see what an example he was, but before we do that, let's just review some of the experiences he had. Now, we read for a scripture reading in Genesis 45, but the story of Joseph really begins back in Genesis 37. And if you remember back then, in Genesis 37, it told us that Israel loved Joseph more than all of his brothers. He was one of 12 boys. And we find that his father even made that special coat for him, a coat of many colors. Well, how to create problems between your children? Favor one, knowingly, visibly, in the presence of all of the rest of them. This wasn't just something that, you know, was a secret thing between Joseph and his dad. Joseph would wear that coat. None of the other sons ever had a special coat given to them. That was kind of the beginning of difficulties at home. Because he was his dad's favorite, Joseph realized that dad kind of likes it when I squeal on what the brothers are doing, when they're not really doing what Dad wants them to do. If I go back and say, "Hey, Dad, do you know what the guys were doing? They were supposed to be, but this is what they're doing." Well, Dad kind of liked that. He kind of liked the fact that he had a tattletale son, his favorite one. So, I mean, there were things in that home. You know, we could go all kinds of message directions with even how to ruin a home life. Just things like that. And of course, in that context, Joseph had a couple of dreams. In that culture, in that day and age, people put a lot of stock in dreams. How many of you have ever dreamed? Do you ever put any stock in those dreams? Boy, I'm telling you, I have some doozies sometimes. Some of the dumbest, craziest things. And sometimes I'll get up in the morning and I'll tell her I was having the wildest dream when that alarm went off this morning. And she'll say, "What was it?" "I don't know. But I know it was a doozy." And do I ever lose any sleep trying to figure out the significance of it? No. No big deal. Honestly, I try to get them out of my mind. Some of them were so wild and stupid during the night. But they put a lot of stock in those dreams. They tried to find out, well, what about the significance of that is. Joseph had two dreams. And Joseph wasn't very smart. He told his brothers what the dream was. You know, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to kind of figure out the significance of this. Let me show you what this was. He says, telling his brothers, "We were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose and also stood upright, and all of your sheaves bowed down to me." How's that going to fly? What's that mean? What do you mean we're going to bow down to you? Says that they hated him more than they already did when he told them that dream. Joseph, you're not very smart, because he had another dream. And this time, the sun, the moon, and the 11 stars, sun and moon. Now, who might that be? Huh?
Mom and Dad.
How about Mom and Dad? And the 11 stars bowed down to me. Huh. Joseph, he told it to his father and to his brethren. Now his father rebuked him and said unto him, "What is this dream that you're dreaming? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to the earth?" See, they were figuring out. They didn't need an interpreter. They understood the significance of what he was seeing in his dreams. His brethren envied him, but his father observed the saying, or took notice. His dad was wondering, man. He said his dream twice, for the brothers are bowing down, but what could this mean? So we see that chapter goes on, and one day in that 37th chapter, there's so much in that chapter. Father sent him out to go see how his brothers were doing. So Joseph went out wearing that nice coat of many colors, and his brothers were out tending the livestock. When Joseph, he had to ask someone in the countryside where they were, they said, "Oh, they're over at such and such a place." And as he was approaching his brothers, that coat was shining like a new nickel in the eyes of the brother. They know exactly who this guy is that was coming. And you know the story, don't they? They started talking and they said, "Here comes that dreamer. Let's kill him and see what happens to his dreams." One of the brothers, though, Reuben, said, "No, we don't want to do that. Let's throw him in the pit and really think about this and figure out what we ought to do with him." In the meantime, they threw him in the pit, and they were at the top of the pit, and they were thinking and talking and everything. And Reuben had to go off for some other business, and he left the other brothers there. And while Reuben was gone, the brothers lifted up their eyes and they saw a traveling caravan headed toward Egypt. And somebody came up with the idea, let's sell him to these traders. They'll take him down to Egypt. Somebody will make a slave out of him. We'll get some money out of it, and he'll be out of our hair. And that's exactly what they did. And they said, but what are we going to tell Dad? Somebody said, here's what we tell Dad. Let's kill one of the animals and dip the coat of many colors in the blood of that animal, and let's take it back to Dad and just tell him, Dad, we don't know what happened. It must be that some wild animal got our brother. What do you think? Look at the blood here. Something terrible must have happened to him. Well, that's what they told Dad. And in the meantime, Reuben came back. And Reuben had said he wanted to put him in a pit because, you know what? He had intended to secretly pull Joseph out of that pit and let him go and let him get out of the hands of his brother. Reuben was devastated when he heard what his brothers had actually done. So, in chapter 37, we find he was rejected by his brothers, hated by his brothers. He was separated from his family. And chapter 37 ends, and he is in that traveling caravan being hauled off to Egypt. In chapter 39, we switch from Joseph in 37 to 39. There is an interlude with, I think, Judah in chapter 38. Chapter 39, it picks back up again. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph. He was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And we find that Joseph was given a place of, actually, responsibility in the home of the man who bought him. And we switch, though. We quickly want to go down to, let's see here. In verse 7. It came to pass after these things of chapter 39, his master's wife cast her eyes on him. She said, lie with me. Come sleep with me. He refused and said unto his master's wife, behold, my master knows not. That's the meaning of what not. He knows not what is with me in the house, and he's committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I, neither have he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How can I do this great wickedness? And we find the woman didn't give up. It says day after day she did this, and one day came when it was just her and Joseph alone in the house. And she grabbed a hold of him and said, come lie with me. And he refused and ran out of the house, really peeling out of the coat of many colors that he had on, and he left it in her hands. Well, you know what that old Jezebel did when her husband came home that night, don't you? Do you know what that young man attempted to do while we were alone. That reprobate, he tried to force me, and I yelled, and he ran. And look, here's the proof, his clothes. Joseph was falsely accused and wrongly imprisoned in chapter 39. In chapter 40, it tells us the story of an incident that took place while he was in prison with some prisoners. And we find that these prisoners had a dream. They each dreamed a dream. And they were all bothered and concerned. And Joseph said, "Tell me what your dream was." And Joseph, through the Lord, told both of those prisoners the interpretation of their dream. And it came to pass. And before the one was released, Joseph said, "When you get out, would you please tell the authorities I'm falsely accused, I'm wrongly imprisoned. Don't forget about me in here." And the prisoner who was being released, just exactly like Joseph said in his dream he would be, he said, "I won't forget you." But chapter 40 ends, and it tells us here that the chief butler did not remember Joseph, but forgot him. And so we find Joseph in chapter 40, he was used and forgotten. In chapter 41, the things change, because Pharaoh himself one day had some dreams. He had two of them. And Pharaoh had sent out word among his workers, "I've had these two dreams. Does anybody, can anybody, none of the Egyptian magicians or soothsayers could interpret the dream?" And it was 2 years, 2 years after that prisoner had been restored back to his position in Pharaoh's court, that the lights came on and that chief butler said to Pharaoh, "I forgot all about something that happened to me 2 years ago. There's a young man in prison and he can tell you what your dreams mean." Well, Pharaoh called for Joseph to be brought out of prison. And we find Joseph, through the Lord, told Pharaoh what those dreams were. Bottom line is, Pharaoh dreamed that there were going to be 7 years of plenteous and 7 years of famine. And Joseph said to Pharaoh, "You need to find someone in your realm that is a very wise individual to put in charge of storing, setting aside food and provisions during those 7 good years, so that when the 7 bad years come, our people will have food to eat. We won't starve to death." And we know what Pharaoh said, don't we? "Well, there's nobody any better than you." And so he promoted him, gave Joseph one of his rings, put royal garments on him, gave him a daughter of his to marry. He was like the second in command. He was the very next one under Pharaoh. In chapter 42, it said this: Jacob saw that there was corn in Egypt, and Jacob said to his sons, I've heard there's corn in Egypt. You need to get down, buy some. And we see in verse 3 of chapter 42, Joseph's 10 brothers went down to buy corn in Egypt. But Benjamin, Joseph's brother, Jacob sinned not with his brethren, for he said, lest peradventure mischief shall befall me. And the sons of Israel came to buy corn among those that came, for the famine was in the land. And it was a global famine, that part of the globe. Joseph was the governor over the land, and he it was that sold to all the people of the land. Now get this, and Joseph's brethren came, and what did they do? What's your Bible say? They bowed down themselves before him with their faces to the earth. Bingo! Isn't that exactly what Joseph had dreamed as a 17-year-old teenager? He was 30 years of age at this time now. And we see in chapter, what an opportunity for revenge against those brothers Joseph had. Because it says here in verse 7, Joseph saw his brothers and he knew them, but made himself strange unto them, spoke roughly unto them. And he started talking to them, where are you from, where are you from? For you see in verse 8, Joseph knew it was his brothers, but they knew not him. They didn't recognize him. What an opportunity for revenge. But instead, we see the workings to reveal himself to them and to call his father to come to the land. So we come to some amazing statements in verse 5, 7, and 8 of chapter 45. 45, 5, 7, and 8. Now therefore be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that you sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life. God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you that sent me here, but God. And he hath made me a father to Pharaoh, lord of all his house, and a ruler throughout all of Egypt. As we look at this, we ask ourselves, how could he do it? Some perhaps would say, well, that was just Joseph's personality. He was a man that, you know, it took a lot to get him riled. And that, you know, that was just his nature, just a person. As we go down the trail, though, we're going to see clearly the marks which testify that Joseph maintained an authentic relationship with the Lord in the midst of all the adversity. How did he do it? This is the key. Joseph maintained an authentic relationship with the Lord through all the adversity that happened. He never allowed circumstances to cause him to go sour. He never gave up on his faith in God. He never gave in to the temptation or the temptation to leave God and follow the world in its ways and get even with those brothers of mine. Well, in spite of the unpleasant circumstances that he had experienced back home, let's notice some critical marks as we think about Joseph, as we ask ourselves, how did he do it? In spite of everything he had experienced in chapter 37, and we started there a while ago, favored by his dad, hated by his brothers, sold into slavery by his brothers. In Genesis 39, we're going to read part of this again. We notice in verses 2 through 6, and the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him. That's an interesting statement, isn't it? It wasn't just somebody speculating, well, maybe the Lord was with him. The man who bought him, Potiphar, he recognized that the Lord was with this young man, and that the Lord had made everything he touched basically to prosper in the land. Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and Potiphar made him overseer over his house, and all that he had he put into his hand. And it came to pass, from the time that he had made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake, and the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not anything that he had except the bread that he would eat on the table each day. Joseph was a goodly person and well-favored. What are we doing here? As we think, how could he do it? Number one, he recognized that the Lord was with him where he was. And this realization prompted Joseph's loyalty to God. Joseph never gave in to the tendency, why should I remain faithful to God? Look what happened to me. Look what he let my brothers do to me. Here I am a slave in the land of Egypt. Never once did he yield to the temptation to lose his loyalty to God. I believe, as we look at verse 39, Joseph, as well as Potiphar, realized that, how can we explain this? Can you explain everything God does in your life? I can't. I can well imagine Joseph was asking himself, what is happening here? But in spite of that, he knew God was with him. He knew God was with him. And because he knew God was with him, he chose to stay with God. That's an important decision, people. I don't believe Joseph knew everything that was happening yet. I don't believe Joseph knew what we read in chapter 45. Don't be upset with yourself. It was God that brought me here to save your lives. I don't believe Joseph knew that as a 17-year-old young man. I believe in time the Lord opened his eyes and helped Joseph to understand. But the important thing, how could Joseph be such a hero of the faith? Because he recognized God was with him, and he chose to stay with God. I wish I could say that we all do that. When we go through difficult experiences, when we go through those unknown things, adversities, trials, hardships, you say, what are you saying, Pastor? I know how it is for some of us to jump off the wagon, so to speak. We grow bitter in our hearts. We give up on God for a while. We complain. We're asking ourselves, oh God, where are you? How come you've done this to me? I thought you were faithful to me. Hey, if this is my reward for faithfulness, Joseph knew God was with him, and he chose to remain loyal to the Lord. In chapter 39, verses 20 through 23, number 2, when he was falsely accused and imprisoned, he still recognized God's presence. Look at verse 20 of chapter 39. Joseph's master took him, put him into prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound. That was maximum security. And he was there in the prison, but the Lord was with Joseph. How do you think Joseph knew the Lord was with him? I believe the same way we know the presence of the Lord today. The Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit. You say, the Holy Spirit he did not permanently indwell believers back then. That's true. But the Spirit worked in people's hearts. And I believe the Lord was communicating with Joseph. In the midst of Joseph, I'm here. I'm with you. I haven't failed you. I haven't forsaken you. And so the Lord was with Joseph, 21, showed him mercy, gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prisoner, and the keeper of the prisoner committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison. Whatever they did there, he was the one that had charge of it. Basically, what did the prison keeper do? He just washed his hands of all of his responsibility and said, man, I'm just going to turn over all of my responsibility to you. You take care of them. They have some needs. They want something. See, Joseph, don't bother me. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him. And that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. Once again, he had that golden touch there in prison as a falsely accused prisoner. And because Joseph recognized the presence of the Lord, rather than him growing bitter, we drop down to chapter 40 and we see he spoke of God's ability to those two prisoners. Look here in chapter 40, verses 5 through 8. They dreamed a dream, both of them, each man his dream in one night. According to the interpretation of the dream, the butler, the baker of the king of Egypt, which were bound in prison, Joseph came in the morning, looked upon them and said, and behold, they were sad. And he asked Pharaoh's officers that were with him, why are you looking so sad today? And they said, well, we've dreamed a dream and we don't know who can interpret it for us. Listen, here was a chance for Joseph to take a little credit for himself. But Joseph's here in verse 8, Joseph said unto them, do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me them, I pray. Had Joseph gone sour on God in all that He was experiencing there in the land of Egypt, falsely accused, thrown in maximum security. What a chance for him to spout off his disapproval, his disappointment with God. No. He said, why? The only one that can interpret dreams, that's God. Tell me, and I'll see what we can do here. Number three, chapter 41, verses 15 and 16. Chapter 41, Pharaoh had those dreams. And the butler remembered, after forgetting Joseph for 2 years, he said to Pharaoh, there's a man in prison. You get him here, he'll tell you the answer to your dreams. And so, Joseph was brought out of prison. And in verses 15 and 16, it tells us this. Joseph said, I'm sorry, 15 and 16. Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I dreamed a dream. There is none that can interpret it. And I have heard it say of thee that you can understand a dream and you can interpret it. Joseph looked at Pharaoh and said, that's right. Tell me your dream. Is that what your Bible says? No. Joseph, when offered a chance for praise, he gave God all the glory. Joseph answered Pharaoh and said, it's not in me. There's nothing special about me to interpret these dreams. God will tell you the answer to your dream. And he gave all the glory. Though not recorded, of course we know, we said a while ago, he was taken out, given a daughter of Pharaoh, Mary, and life, that was a turning point. Life was so good for Joseph from this point on. And in the next few verses, it is not recorded, but Joseph grew in his fellowship with God while he was there in Egypt. And sometime during those years of recognizing God's presence, faithfulness, the Lord had revealed to him, Joseph, here's why I brought you here. Here's why you have had to go through all of that. So that when we come to chapter 45, Joseph is not a hardened, revengeful, bitter man. But by God's grace, he could give God all the glory for everything that had happened in his life. Would you like to be able to do that? Just like with Joseph, the choice is yours. How you respond, how you maintain your relationship with the Lord, and what you do. Shall we close it? Father, we thank you for your sustaining grace for this young man. In spite of everything he experienced, Joseph is a hero of faith because he went through such adverse circumstances. He kept his eyes on you. Help us to learn from this example. Help us to make the same kind of choices in the things that we experience. When adversity comes, you have not failed us, Father. You're there. And you're desiring for us to look unto you and maintain our faith. We thank you, realizing that what worked for Joseph can work for us if we make the right choice. We pray.